Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Sons of a Gun, a podcast about the DC Universe. I'm Alex Gunn.
And I'm Justin Gunn, also a gun.
We are both sons of a gun. We got a celebrity dad. We can't talk about him, but he's very busy because we're going to jump into our first news item. And just a note, if you have any news items, tips, stories you want us to cover, you can always email us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. But Superman Legacy has begun filming, except it's no longer called Superman Legacy. It's now simply called Superman. This is something that James Gunn put out on his social media accounts on Superman's birthday, February 29th, Leap Day, which apparently was a coincidence that they started filming. Stuff to get into here, but let's start with the title first. Going from Superman Legacy to Superman, he said that it was called Superman Legacy when he was scripting it out, but they realized during the process, this movie is simply Superman. How do you feel about that, Justin?
Honestly, it's a relief. The legacy part, I was like, this is so exciting. Everything's cool about this. And the legacy part, I'm like, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. We don't, if there's anything we don't want to do with this, it's reach back. Like, it's time to make a bold leap forward here. And so the fact that they've lost the legacy is actually really exciting to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could still, we've certainly plumbed into a lot of implications in what legacy means, and I think those will still be present in the movie. I think from a marketing perspective, it makes a lot more sense to just be like, this is Superman. And as a lot of people have pointed out, my initial reaction, because I'm a grump, was there already was a Superman movie. What are you doing? How dare you? But everybody was like, that was 1978. Yeah. That was a really long time ago. It's okay.
Only the grumps are going to be mad about this.
Yeah, only the people that are really mad about SEO, Google searches, and alphabetizing their DVDs and Blu-rays are going to be mad about it, a.k.a. I'm mad about it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've put in the wrong Superman DVD. What will I do?
Oops.
We're in full crisis mode. Well, let me also say, I think this is a bold step forward away from colon titles, which I think is going to be left behind as the end of the previous superhero era. I watched Aquaman, colon, whatever that was called.
There was no colon in that. That was Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Oh, okay. Well, any punctuation, making our heroes and the next nonsense thing, I think we got to step out of that into a putting a flag down saying this is a new thing.
DCU, no colons, all spleen. Right?
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of what it feels like.
Sort of. Anyway, I think this is a statement in terms of intent of Warner Brothers, of James Gunn, of saying we are starting a new superhero universe. This is starting with Superman. Simply Superman. But there were a lot of other things that came out over the past couple of weeks, as well as in relation to this announcement. The first thing, he put up a very simple picture from the beginning of filming, close up of the Superman sigil, the Superman S, with a little bit of snow on it. And I think we can intuit two things off of this, right? The first one, snow, probably at the Fortress of Solitude, right?
Makes sense. Cold. Yeah.
And the second thing that I thought was pretty interesting was the Superman S is the Kingdom Come Superman S, but in color. And for anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about there, there's a classic comic book series called Kingdom Come. It's not exactly post-apocalyptic, but it's a dystopian future. There's a Superman there. Excuse me. I believe the logo is like just black and red. And it's a very It doesn't look like an S. Like, it looks like a symbol, a sigil there.
A swoosh, almost.
A swoosh, exactly. Like Superman flying through the air, I assume is the idea. It was designed by Alex Ross. And I think it's, again, a very specific thing. He came out, James Gunn, and said that Alex Ross was the inspiration behind the new Superman suit. But I think taking something that has this dark future and instead adding color into it is exactly what it sounds like he's doing with the movie.
Yeah. What does that mean for the story, I guess? Because that is like such a strong and harsh reference. And to speaking of legacy, it feels like it speaks right to legacy, which is like, you know, future, dystopian future, present. Maybe there's a connective there. And like, so I don't know. That makes this movie feel way darker and different than I think I had expected it initially.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we don't know that it's inspired by Kingdom Come or anything like that. But I think if I was to intuit based on other things we know about the movie, I think we're going to get a world. We know we're going to get a world where superheroes already exist. And the superheroes who exist are kind of the more extreme superheroes. We've got the Authority. We've got Guy Gardner, Green Lantern, who is a jerk in the comic books. We've got Hawk Girl, who's usually pretty angry and hitting things with her mace. So if you have a character who is set in this dystopian present where we have superheroes running all over the place, breaking things and not really caring about it too much, and you have somebody come in like Superman that brings hope into this world, brings color into this dark, gritty world, I think that's probably what we're going for here.
And that's really interesting because that, rather than taking us back to zero with the DC universe, it's like inserting him into maybe not the current DC universe, but a universe of superheroes, which I think is smart because that is a much, the audience is there. Rather than taking clean slate back to like, we only know movies as romantic comedies. It's like, no, everyone knows superhero movies. This is a new injection. This is a new idea into that.
Yeah, I do wonder, we were talking a couple of episodes back about Watchmen, and this is probably a very extreme thing to say, but I wonder if this will almost be a Watchmen meta take on superheroes, like you're saying, something that you have superheroes pre-existing, you have the tropes pre-existing, so we don't need to go through a whole origin story for Superman and introduce, this is what a superhero is. Instead, we can comment on what are superheroes like? What do we expect them to be in culture? What do they need to be next?
You know, and I love that take, especially if it's like a reverse Watchmen. If it's like, look, because the whole Watchmen thing was like, look, these bright, shiny superheroes, but did you know that humanity is fucked up and there's a darkness underneath this? And I think it's safe to say our culture has changed so much that we all know humanity's fucked up. And it's time for an injection of positive, bright, shiny superhero into it. The idea that this is a reverse Watchmen is, I think, maybe the best possible situation.
Honestly, I hope they've got about a year at this point. Maybe they could change the title from Superman to Reverse Watchmen.
And that's smart, Ed, because get the Snyder heads out and you've got yourself a hit.
You got yourself a stew, baby. A couple of other items about Superman. Going to get used to just calling it that. Terrence Rosemore is playing Otis. Otis is in the movie. He was at the first cast read. Fun.
Otis.
Well, it does feel like there's a little bit of a throwback thing going on there because you got Otis, you got Miss Tessbacher. Nicholas Holt did shave his head for Lex Luthor. So they're definitely going for like the classic Superman stuff at the same time as James Gunn is shaking up some stuff, I think. And then one more, Wendell Pierce from The Wire has been cast as Perry White in Superman. Are you a Wire head, Justin?
Yeah, I haven't revisited that in a long time, but yeah, exciting. Yeah. Good choice.
It is. He's the guy who says she it, right? A lot?
I think. I don't know, actually, but yes. Let's say yes.
All right. And one last one. This is a very brief thing, but somebody was asking about Tom King's involvement on Superman, and James Gunn said he was one of the first three people to read and give notes. I don't think that's that surprising. He seems to be very much in the process and in the brain trust.
Yeah, and you know, giving notes isn't necessarily a huge deal. It could be a huge deal. Giving notes could be as simple as like reading it and sending in like, you know, a couple pages of like, here's some thoughts and ideas. Or it could have been like a series of intense phone calls and meetings where he got into the script and shook it up. So we don't know, but I think it's smart to be reaching out to people who are in the comic book mix.
Yeah. I wonder if Tom King, one of his big notes was needs more 9-panel grids.
Yeah. Why is there only one screen? Make 9.
All right. Let's move on to some other movies than Superman. Barry Keoghan will return as the Joker for the Batman Part 2. That was confirmed by Vanity Fair. I think that's pretty much the first really confirmed piece of information we have about the Batman Part 2. What do you think about that? Do you want to see him back as good old Jokehead?
That's what I call him, too. Uh-huh. What is this movie? This is a crazy piece of information to lead with. Is this going to be a Joker story? Because that would feel crazy.
There's been so many rumors that have come out about this, and Matt Reeves, who has been working on it for years at this point, hasn't really confirmed anything. As far as I know, I mean, I might have missed some information, but I think like there's been a lot of talk about maybe Clayface is in it in some form. We've talked about, is it Clayface the actor versus the literal guy who is made out of clay? I feel like unless Matt Reeves has reversed in some way, he was pretty clear on he didn't want to do a Joker movie, but I could see the Joker still being present in Arkham Asylum in some way, maybe having another tete-a-tete scene with Batman like he did in the first movie. But yeah. I don't think he'll be the main villain.
I mean, the idea that that's a runner through all of these movies of having like a little Joker sesh, I think is cool and very detective, very noir, which I know is sort of the idea here. So I think it's cool. I like Barry Keoghan, especially not as the focus, but as a piece. Like as the focus, I feel like the Joker, his Joker is a little different. It's a little in the middle of the manic Joker versus the like just dark sort of twisted Joker. So I don't know. I think it's cool, but I want this movie to be made and I want it to be soon. You know, I don't think it doesn't help. The longer we wait for this movie, I think the worse situation it's in.
Well, that said, you got The Penguin coming out later this year, right? So I think that'll whet the appetite a bit. I think the big problem is going to come the closer James Gunn gets to Brave of the Bold and making that, then we've got two Batmans running simultaneously, which we've talked about before. I think the viewing audience has a unstoppable appetite for Batman, so it's not going to be a huge problem in terms of the box office. But I'd love some space between these. I'd love to see the Batman Part 2 and then a while until we see Brave and the Bold or vice versa. I don't want to see them come out in the same year or in one year after another. Again, not going to be a problem, but that's just a personal preference.
Well, I think that's a general problem. It's just you're muddying both up if they're too close because you can't talk about one before you can't talk about the other before the first, whichever one it would be. And if Brave and the Bold can't come out before Batman 2, because then that's way broken as far as system wise. So
we'll see. I mean, they're barreling ahead with the DCU, so maybe that stuff is going to move faster than Matt Reeves. Honestly, I love the Batman, so take your time. Yeah. I understand the feeling you're expressing, but I wanted them to get it right because they got the first one right, get the second one right too. The rest of the movies they can get wrong. I'm good with that.
That's nice. You're just a Batman. You just love Barry Keoghan. You have one scene from Barry Keoghan is all you need.
Exactly. And I should mention that one scene that I mentioned was cut for the movie, so it wasn't actually even in the movie. Oops. Anyway, let's move on to another one that's not going to happen. Joe Manganiello apparently wrote a Deathstroke screenplay and wanted to make a comic book series. This is the direct quote. He did an interview with comicbook.com. James Gunn is my buddy, and James and I had a conversation about it because Jim Lee over in DC Comics wanted me to create a graphic novel series based on the screenplay that I wrote for the Deathstroke origin film that, when they were dismantling the DCEU, that went to the wayside as well. Jim read it and wanted it to be a graphic novel series, but no one could assure me that if it garnered the attention of directors and producers, that I couldn't be attached, so I had to let it go. James Gunn was just like, let it go.
Is he a writer? What's happening here?
I don't know. He plays D&D a lot, so that's kind of like writing.
That's like writing. That's like writing out loud, you know, as yeah, many people would say.
This is a wild series of quotes here. He seems like a very nice, sweet guy, so I don't want to lump on him too much. But first of all, calling it a graphic novel series, I'll just gatekeep a little bit here. I'm sure he means comic book series, and he got the terms wrong.
He means comic book series or graphic novel, but he does not mean graphic novel series.
He definitely doesn't. A series of five graphic novels that Joe Manganiello
like, wrote. He is a writer.
Yeah,
he's he wrote 1,000 pages about this Deathstroke.
Well, and also I'll mention that, like, Paul Dano wrote a Riddler Year One series for DC that was great.
Which is great, really good.
So I assume this was a similar thing. I imagine they were kind of looking for, like, Paul Dano did this, Joe Manganiello will do this. Maybe we have, I don't know, Jesse Eisenberg does a Lex Luthor series or something like that.
Give it to me, right in my veins. Take me back.
Granny's Peach Tea Origins. But the other thing that's kind of irked me a little bit in this quote, unless I'm misunderstanding.
You feel irked. This week of news is irking you.
I'm irked, man. I'm irked because I'm a jerk. The idea that he was like, if I can't be cast in the movie, I'm not doing it. I understand that impulse, and I understand that's why he's doing it, but that is the worst celebrity impulse for comics. Like, do a comic if you want to do a comic. Don't do it because, like, hey, this is my, you know, storyboard, so you eventually can make my movie. That's all.
Agreed. But I also, like, I'm sure that all these celebs, especially this situation, has an agent manager in their ear being like, no, you got to do this because that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. And so whether or not, you know, we can never gauge his actual interest in writing these things. But as a career play, I see why all of that was made, you know.
Totally. I will say, as a comic book fan, I would have read that. I would have been curious to see what Joe Manganiello's comic book take on Deathstroke would have been. And he looked good in the post-credit scene of Justice League. But, you know, that will never be. There you go. As both James Gunn and Elsa say, let it go. Next up, animators are trying to drum up interest for a Batman Beyond animated movie. I don't know if you checked out the stills here. It's very much the Batman Beyond animated series mixed with Spider-Verse stuff. One of them kind of worked on Spider-Verse a little bit as well. It seemed to me it was the sort of thing where they were trying to get the internet behind it and push it into reality. But what do you think about that? Do you want to see Batman across the Bativerse?
I mean, yeah, direct rip. I think, you know, Batman Beyond is great. And it was, back when it came out, it felt really progressive and interesting from an animation perspective. It was like, whoa, this is really cool and different, but still maintaining the Batman the Animated Series vibe. It felt very futuristic. So I see why they were like, this could be that. Mm-hmm. And I think Batman Beyond has great stories. I don't know how big the fan base is. I think it's big.
Yeah,
it's there. But I don't know.
It's there. Yeah. I think it could do well. And I think there's animation techniques that you could really push forward, like the whole Dayglow Blade Runner thing. If you give it a movie sheen, could be really phenomenal to look at. I think there's a place for it. I don't know if these are the guys to do it or if they have the script or anything, but yes.
But yes, let's say yes, especially when we get Joe Manganiello getting a no. That means there's room for a yes.
Exactly.
That's how Hollywood works.
Yeah. Love is an open door, like I always say to these Batman Beyond creators. That's another
song. That's a James Gunn quote, I believe.
Yeah. He just keeps clattering Frozen songs. I don't know why. Last but not least, we got, maybe least actually, we got a rumor patrol here. Apparently, according to a scooper, Jurassic League animated movie might be in development. Speaking of animated movies, Jurassic League was a book by Daniel Warren Johnson. And oh my gosh, I should have looked up who the other person who worked on it was, who was the main person who worked on it. But it's basically exactly what it sounds like. It's the Justice League, but back as dinosaurs. Again, what do you think? Is this going to happen? Is this real?
I mean, you love Juan Gideon was the...
Yes, Juan Gideon, yes.
But you loved Jurassic League.
I thought it was very fun. It was very fun.
And it's combining like dinosaurs and superheroes, things that I, you know, I'm down for, and everyone my age or younger, which is a lot of people, would be down for that, I think. The only thing is, like, there wasn't a ton of story, was my like little complaint about the comic. So like, I think maybe a little bit more. This book was definitely written like, you're already reading Justice League, here's dinosaurs. So I think you have to find a version of it that's more just down the middle, I think.
Here's my issue with it, which is my issue with a lot of the DC animated movies. They're almost definitely not going to do it in the style of Juan Gideon or Daniel Warren Johnson. It's just going to look like animated dinosaurs, which, mind you, I can't be too bad at superhero dinosaurs. That's fine. That's fun as a concept. But my issue with a lot of these animated movies they put out is they have very idiosyncratic artists, and then they jettison that style for the animation, and it's just not as interesting to look at.
It's hard to make something that from an animated movie perspective that has a really big artistic take. I mean, that's why the Spider-Verse movies was like such a revelation, because it felt different when everything else feels like sort of in the same neighborhood. So, you know, maybe they could get it this time, though.
Let's see.
Stay
what
positive,
happens.
Alex. Don't be such a grump.
Harumph. Well, if you've got tips, stories you want us to cover, you can email us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. We do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about DC stuff. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast, many more. Until next time, Dad. Good luck out there. Stay warm. It looks cold.
Yeah. Come on. Do we have to be, are we Sons of a Gun legacy now? We have to take the legacy?
I think so.
Because it makes sense for us.
Yes, I think so. And I think, honestly, James Gunn is out there shooting at the Fortress of Solitude, getting frozen.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.